we just appreciate this church more than you probably ever know. But the church is people. And so therefore we appreciate the people. And these folks have just been so helpful in trying to get this meeting continued and continuing, I guess you could say, and lodging and food and just what it takes, the offerings, just the kindness this church has shown. And for that, we're grateful. We've invested a lot in this church, a lot of these people, and it's beginning to show on this side of eternity.
That's right.
And how we thank God for that. And we have a couple of weeks still before Thanksgiving. We'll be preaching our home church in Blaine. Those of you that are coming, we need to confirm, if you would please, with Nicole Black, when and how many people. Just confirm that if you have not already. She needs to know. Trying to juggle everything, get people in here, there, everywhere. And so please, if you would, do that as well. And we certainly appreciate the folks that do come down to Blaine for the services. And we always have a great time in those services. There will be 11 the following Sunday through that week. And then we start again. Now, nothing between Thanksgiving and Christmas ever, because nobody does anything spiritual those 5 weeks. And so once that dies down, then we'll move into New Year's and begin some service in a new church in Virginia, and have a weekend, and most likely be able to see some Newton sometime next week or two in Oxford, North Carolina. Life goes on. Life just continues. So please pray for the McVeigh family, and just pray as we travel with three. And of course, Leanne started school this year, and so just a little bit of extra pressure on my wife. And I certainly thank my mother-in-law. It's always a blessing she can come up here with us. And she's always come up here a long time. She's been coming. And we certainly thank the Lord for her. She's just a great help to us, help to my wife. And it takes a lot for God to put a meeting together. And it's just the unsung heroes, those that will never know, just small things, but everything compounds. And eventually we see the meeting. And anybody that can take a burden off the pastor, anybody can take the burden off the evangelist, take a burden off the people of God, it's greatly appreciated. And many of you have done that. Many of you have been a great help and a great blessing. The supper tonight, we were not here. The Skultons recommended we come eat tacos after we ate at their home, but I had to be honest, I couldn't eat another bite. And so I did not come for tacos, but I know many of you did. And what a marvelous thing that was, and we certainly appreciate that. The folks were able to have a bite to eat before church. And so some folks have a bite to eat during church, after church, all night long. And so I'm going to do something not out of sorts, just something a little bit different. But I want to look at the I wills of the Gospels. And I really kind of categorized these in the sense that I'm going to start in Matthew 26. And what I've done with this, I've categorized it, and what I'm going to preach is really some of those I wills, but I want to look at the conditional I will. Now, we've talked about this here, other places, and folks from Single House are familiar with this, but it's the I will of God, the will of God. And Jesus Christ will be speaking in these verses, and he is denoting the will of God. I will, that's a decision, that's a choice he makes. That's the mind of God, that he will do this. Shall is that absolute. Shall take place. It's an absolute. And what we see in these verses we're going to look at tonight, and again, we're just going to preach a couple of verses and we'll go home. I feel like Brother Rose has been such a great blessing. I miss him already, miss his family. And we're certainly appreciative of that. Thank the Lord he was here with us. And I told him this morning, I said, Brother, it's not even an option that you leave early next year. I said, you need to come Sunday and stay through Sunday. And I said, we'll find you a place to preach, give you a place to rest. But I said, it's just not an option. And I said, you just need to be here. And you say, why do you talk like that? Well, your pastor does that to me, so I thought I'd be there to him. And so I told him. Amen. So anyway, that's my only impression of John Asper. This is really tawdry, but anyway. So when we look at these I wills of Scripture, again, it's conditional. If something has to take place, and then God can do what he will. And so I'll just lay a little bit of ground. I'm going to go slow on this, and I want, again, the young people to grasp this, as well as the elderly and the enfeebled and those of you with afflicted minds and those of you with hardened hearts, dull minds, senses dull of hearing. And so I want each one of us to be able to grasp this. I'm going to go slow in the hopes that maybe at least one of us will get something from this. Matthew 26, and in verse 30, somewhere around verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And then I want you to notice the condition. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And so again, he tells you what he's going to do. It is his will to go into Galilee, but there is a condition. He must rise again. And so once that condition is met, then God will do his will. And once that condition has fulfilled itself, then God will do what he said he would do. We go again to the book of Mark in Mark 14, and we're going to talk about the resurrection a little bit here in the early on parts of this, because a lot of this hinges on the resurrection. And this is, of course, the same passage in Mark 14, but he says again in verse 28, but after that I am risen, there's the condition, I will go before you into Galilee. So there's a condition, again, that condition must be met. Before he's going to go into Galilee, Jesus Christ must rise again. That's his promise. But again, it's his will to go into Galilee. But there's going to be a pause. There's going to be a time. There's going to be a appointed time because there must be a condition met. Verse 36 says the same thing. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Verse 58 of that same passage, he says, but we heard him say, so they're speaking of this, I will destroy the temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. What is he speaking of? They're speaking of the resurrection. Jesus Christ said that that temple would be destroyed. And after 3 days, he would build it again. So, again, a condition must be met. That temple has to be destroyed. Jesus Christ must die. That body must go to the grave. He must lie 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He must resurrect. But when he does resurrect, he has built that temple. So, again, it's conditional. This must take place before God can do what he will. And we'll see that a couple of the places here. Let's go to the book of John, if you would. And in the book of John, again, we see a couple passages in chapter 2. We see Jesus Christ mentioning this same thing again. And again, just laying some groundwork, just to give you an idea of what we're talking about in this matter. And the reference here in John 2 in verse 9. When the ruler, that's not the right one. Let me, 2:19, that would make sense. Verse 18, he says, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest not these things, or doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Again, it's conditional. He will raise it up. But it first must be destroyed. So God is going to do something. He's going to do it in his will. But there's something else must take place. That's why I say it's conditional. And some of these I wills are absolutely conditional. Some of these will not be fulfilled because the condition is not met. However, in this case, we know the condition was met. Did Jesus Christ die? Yes, he did. Was his body destroyed? Yes, it was. Was he raised up again? Yes, he was. He's resurrected. He's alive forevermore. And so again, as we go through these passages, we'll continue to think on those lines of the condition. It's the will of God. He wants to do this because it's in his mind to do this, in his thinking to perform his will, but he has a condition. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4, and we'll run through a couple of these and try to go slow through these. But Matthew 4 and verse 18, again, this sets a condition, but we'll see that here. Matthew 4, 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, and notice the condition, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What is the condition? Follow me. What is his will? His will is to make them fishers of men. They are fishermen. They understand that. They understand the life of fishing. They understand the work of fishing. But it's in his will to make them fishers of men. But again, the condition must be met. Follow me. In verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. Let's fast forward just a few years, and what takes place? Those men are now fishers of men. They now are going into the world preaching the gospel. And they become fit. Why? Because they left their nets and they followed Jesus Christ. They met the condition, and then God, in his will, met the condition that he promised them, that he would make them fishers of men. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. So there's the condition. To hear these sayings of mine and doeth them. That's continuance. Not just a one-time event. I'm going to continue to do these things. He said, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The condition, of course, must be met. But if that condition is met, then he will make that man like a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And he said, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. So what you see here is, he introduces this into this idea that is conjured up in my mind, for whatever reason, that in that we see the will of man. If that man will hear these things, the sayings of Christ, and then will do them, continue to do them, then he'll be like that that wise man that was built upon the rock. But then that man also in his will has another choice. And that's that he can hear, but then he does not do them. Then he's going to be the foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And so it is a choice. It's in your will. It is in your thinking. It is in your mind that I will or I won't. And therefore Jesus Christ shows us what his will is. But he's not going to overthrow our will to perform his will. And that is conditional. That is conditional. What does that mean? If you will, he will. And if you won't, he won't. Does he want to? Yes, he does. Is he obligated to? No, he is not. Are you obligated to? No. It's a choice you make. It's a deliberate choice you make to take up your cross and follow him. That is the choice. Matthew chapter 11 and look at this just briefly and then go to the book of John again. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Probably read a little bit more than that, but that's just kind of the heart of the verse. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. There's the condition. And I will give you rest. That's the promise of God. If you'll come unto him, you're weary, heavy laden, you're laboring, weighed down, tired, enfeebled, life's got you down, life's put you in a corner. If you make that conscious choice to follow him, I will give you rest. It is in the mind of God that whosoever will may come. But again, that's in their will. And he goes on, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am, interesting, meek and lowly in heart, And ye shall, that's a guarantee. That's not a will, that's an absolute. That's the shall. And shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So again, one of the passages, we've used this several times in different places, but the I am and his will and then our obligation, and then there's a guarantee in the midst of all of it that he shall. If your mind is his mind and you come unto him, he will give you that rest. But then he said on this wise, ye shall, absolute, no conditions. It's no longer conditional. Ye shall find rest for your souls. And it's interesting he reinforces that. At first he said it's his will to give you rest. Then he lets you know if you do this, he shall give you rest. But again, the choice is yours. John chapter 6, and we'll be in several verses in John chapter 6. And Jesus saith unto them in verse 35, you might want to let you know that, John 6, 35. And Jesus saith unto, said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What's the condition? Him that cometh to me. What is God's will to not cast you out? It's your will and his will. He is willing. He is willing to bring you. He is willing to save. He is not willing to cast you out, but you've got to come. If you don't come, he will cast you out. Again, conditional, but it's his will. Let's read on, verse 38. For I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And then he tells us, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me. What is the condition? That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. So let's just rehash. There's the Son of God, Jesus Christ, has been high and lifted up. He's drawing all men nigh unto him. And if we will see the Son and believe on him, it is the will of God that we have everlasting life in him, in Jesus Christ. So why don't we have everlasting life? Why is it some don't have eternal life? Because they don't believe on him. It is his will that he give you that life. It's not his will to cast you out. It is his will that you come unto. That's his will. But it is a condition. You must believe that he is. And he's preached in this pulpit 3,962 times. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe that. And then he's willing to save you. He's willing to bring you unto himself. Continue on. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And again, you can debate, you can argue, spit, sputter, you can go buy great theological books, you can Google search, whatever you want to do. But I believe the word of God is drawing men. I believe the Father is drawing men through the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. I've heard all kinds of philosophies about God drawing men. The Word of God, that quick and powerful book in which we hold, this blessed King James Bible, is drawing men to Jesus Christ. And if they will come unto Him, He will raise them up at the last day. And He's never lost one, just throwing that out there. Amen. He said, I will raise him up at the last day. It is the will of God to raise men up at that last day. It is God's will that men be converted. It is God's will that men be saved. It is God's will that men believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. It is His will. Continue on. It's written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. What is that? That's the law and the prophets. That's the word of God. That's the drawing unto Him. And He said, not any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. Amen. He offered his body that you and I might live.
Thank you.
But yet we must believe in Jesus Christ, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and again, I will raise him up in the last day. The promise of God of the resurrection. Let's go to John 14. Very simple truth, but John 14:13, start there. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In verse 14, he says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. What's the condition? You must ask in his name. He said, I will do it. What name is that? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verse 18, I'm going to read this and kind of skip that. Let's go to verse 21. He that hath my commandments or keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Very clear. Conditional. Verse 23, Jesus answered, said to them, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make one abode with him. Amen. That's why John invited us into that great fellowship. Yes, sir. Pastor expounded on that the other morning, I believe it was. That he invited us into that fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And if we'll believe on him, believe in his precious name, he's also invited us into that fellowship. But it is a conditional fellowship. It's his will that we be in that. It's his will that we walk with him. It's his will that we be close to him. It's his will to draw us nigh unto him. But that one thing is in the way still. And that's our will. John 16 and verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow. But what did he say? I will see you again. We go back just a couple of verses and John 14, verse 3, he said, and if I go, let me just start in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. We're in John 14. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Has he gone to prepare a place for us? Yes, he has. So what's he going to do? He's going to come again. That's his promise. I will come again. And he said, and receive you unto myself, that where, it's there, I am, there ye may be also. You say, why did you pause in that I am? Because that's where he is. Where I am. Amen. The abode of Jesus Christ. That's where he is. Now, again, he's invited us into that fellowship. He's called us into that fellowship. He's offered that to whosoever will. He's given us a choice. He's given us the Word of God. He has drawn us with the Word of God. He has moved across the face of our hearts with the Word of God. He's been good to us. He leadeth us to repentance with his goodness. So what's in the way? John 17 and verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. What is his will? That we be where he is. That's his promise. He wants us with him. He's invited us to come to where he is. He's offered an invitation to us to come unto him, that where I am, there ye may be also. Where he is where the Father is. And that's where that fellowship is in Christ. Again, it's conditional, and it hinges on us. Do we believe? Do we believe the Word of God? Do we believe that God will receive us unto himself? Do we believe that if I come, he'll in no wise cast me out? Do we believe the words of God? If the answer is no, then the condition is no. You'll not go to where he is. You'll not be in the fellowship. You will have no rest. You'll be tormented day and night forever. But if you'll believe the words of Christ and come unto him, he will give you that rest. Why? Because that rest is where he is. That rest is where the Father is. That rest is with him. And then he said this, I will not leave you comfortless. I like what he said in one place, I will come to you.
Amen.
So let me ask this. Has he come to you? What did you do with him when he came? Has he come to you? What did you do with him? He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he's come, and as many as received him, them gave you power to become the sons of God, even them to believe on his name. So he's come to men, he's appeared to all men everywhere. He told us that, teaching us the denying of godliness and worldly lusts, which is soberly, righteously, and godly. He told us he's appeared to all men. So he has come to us. But what have we done with him? What have we done with him? It's conditional. It kind of excludes fatalism a little bit. Really just takes fatalism and kind of kicks it in the seat of the pants and chucks it overboard, but it kind of destroys Calvinism. It really destroys hyper-Calvinism. Because it's for whosoever will. And man has an obligation to come. Man has a command to come. God has ordered. Man, God has ordered men to come unto me. He's told them, come unto me. We're obligated to come. But yet many will not come. Look at couple of these wrestling. Well, let's go back to John at 14 just a minute. Verse 15 of John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments as a condition, and I will pray the Father. And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Again, he said, the Father and I will come if that man believes. We will come if that man will just simply believe that I'm the Christ. And we'll dwell with him. He'll dwell with us. That's the promise of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is of them that perish foolishness. For to us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The wise know conceit. Wisdom of this world. Knowledge of this world. Puffed up with pride. And the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. What is the preaching of the cross? Well, starting in Genesis. Brother Rose started in chapter 2 yesterday. Right place to start. First Adam. From Genesis into the Revelation, we see the work of Jesus Christ. And very simply put, the fact that he came into this world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. The preaching of the cross, that Jesus Christ would come into this world and die for the sins of the world. We see it all through the tabernacle. We see it all through the priesthood. We see it all through the temple. We see it all through the prophets. And it culminates that day on Calvary. A place called Calvary, the place of the skull. And there they crucified him. They hung him on a cross, cursing everyone that hangeth on the tree. There the Son of God was hung on a cross for us and died for our sins. He shed his blood that you and I might be born of God, might be washed, might be cleansed by his blood. And that's foolishness to people. That's so foolish to people. And whosoever believeth in him, whosoever, that's any man, any woman, that believeth in him, they also can have everlasting life.
Amen.
It's that simple. Well, what about what I did? And that's the foolishness to them. That's why he confounds the minds of the wise. That's why he makes this simple to people. It's not an intellect. It's not an ascent of wisdom. It's not in your mind that you come to Christ. It's not because you're a person of position or a person of status. Or it's not because you have a place in the church or a place in religion. It's not because of the works of righteousness which you have done. Very simply, in Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
And if you'll come to him, he won't cast you out.
That's
right. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Is it conditional? He said it was. You got to come out from among them and be ye separate.
That's good.
Come on.
You got to separate yourself unto Jesus Christ. You got to separate yourself from your family. You got to separate yourself from your coworkers. You got to separate yourself from your loved ones. You got to separate yourself from religion.
Yeah.
And come unto Jesus Christ. And then he made a great statement. It's his will to receive you. And then he said, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. You know, there are many of us in this room that had good fathers of this world. There are many in this room that did not have good fathers of this world. But can I say to you, no matter your status in life, no matter your family situation, the Lord God wants you to come apart from them, that he can be a father to you.
Yes, yeah.
That you'll be his son, that you'll be his daughter.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he'll be as a father to you. He'll do so much more than your earthly father could ever do. And I praise God for my earthly father. I praise God for him. But where he failed and where he let me down, the things that controlled me and the things that almost destroyed me, the Lord God Almighty will be a father to me. He'll never hurt me. He'll never wound me. He'll never curse me. He'll never shame me. I'll never be ashamed of him. Because I'm his son. He's made me an heir and joint heir with Christ. Gave me that spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that's what he wants to do for you. But he said, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts. Touch not the unclean thing. If it's your family keeping you from Jesus Christ, the greatest thing in this world you can do is just separate yourself from your family and come unto Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Family controls religion. You know, you just fill in the blanks. We're Catholic. We're Jews.
Right.
We're Baptist. We're not like those Baptists. We were down to Baptist Church in Cuba today. I was trying to get a meeting there at First Baptist, and it didn't go well. And Timothy kind of ruined that for me last year, not getting a meeting down there. But anyway, I won't get into all that tonight. You might just have to separate. Come out from among that thing that's keeping you. Come out from that unclean thing that's keeping you from Christ. Boy, I'd be just a little coward. I wouldn't be much of a man if I couldn't separate from people. Worried about what they think and deny Jesus Christ and go to hell. For the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched, and suffer the torment of hell because I'm worried about what people think about me. And I've seen over the years large men, muscular men, strong men. And yet somebody else controls them. They will not come unto Jesus Christ. I've seen some of the most bullheaded, strong women you'd ever meet. Because of fear of a husband or fear of a father. Fear about what people will think. They deny Jesus Christ, reject the gospel. But he said he will be a father to you. He'll be the greatest father you've ever had. He'll give you comfort. He'll put you in that fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ. He'll give you rest. Go to the book of Hebrews and close out with something out of context on purpose. Pastor's had off all week, so just give him something to do. Hebrews 8, verse 8.